The candle today was the candle of love. I want to read from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and the verses following. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. There's a course that was around a number of years ago that has this beginning phrase: love was when God became a man. Love is a word that carries with it a kaleidoscope of meaning, meanings of which you and I latch onto one or more of those meanings depending on our own personal experience of life. Love, in its very simplest form, is one person giving something to another person that shows care for that person. The greatest gift is that gift of relationship, that gift of relationship where one person stands with another person through their experiences of life, walking with and caring for in the midst of our joys and our sorrows, in the midst of health and sickness, in the midst of wealth and poverty. That's love in its very simplest form. John 3:16, which Pastor Margaret read before, a verse that we probably all have memorized: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God gave. God gave. God chose to give. There's sometimes when I think of this verse in my own, you know, personal times and meditation times, I will sometimes change that word gave to sent. For God so loved the world that he sent. And in actually the 1 John passage that I read, the word sent is used. I like this word gave, though, in this sense. We're in the Christmas season, the holiday season. What do? We give gifts, don't we? We give gifts. Well, normally we give gifts. However, in this season of COVID, where Margaret and I are not going to be traveling to be with our girls and our grandkids, guess what happens? Margaret orders online via Amazon, etc., etc., and she sends. Well, I'm sure our kids and grandkids are thankful for our love and the fact that Margaret and I are sending them gifts. But guess what? Sending isn't nearly as personal as giving. It's much more meaningful when we can be with each other, when we can actually give. John 3:16 says, God so loved us that he gave. It's a personal giving. Our God is a God of all power. Recently, Margaret and I together heard a message where this power of God was talked about. And I was so impressed with that. And as I came to this message today, you know, it resounded for me and my thinking and what the Spirit was saying to me. This idea of God's power. God has the power to do whatever he wants to do with us and in our world. And God chose to give his one and only son. We are slaves. We are slaves to Satan's deception. Satan has been in the business since the beginning of time of deceiving Adam and Eve and now us, deceiving us with this idea that if we choose whatever we want, we're going to have the best of life. For Adam and Eve, it was that fruit that God said, don't eat that. For us, it may be one thing or another that we choose for ourselves rather than thinking of those around us. It is this selfishness, it is this deception of Satan that is selling us this bill of goods, this selfish bill of goods that says, you don't need to give to others. Give to yourself. Take care of yourself. We can see how this deception is working itself out in the world in which we're living right now. How many times are we confronted with this deception as we think about this mask mandate? We're told we're to wear masks. And for some of us, we feel like, oh, that's good. It's helpful. And that's what we'll do. But we may confront others who don't feel that way. And as they look at us and hear us speak, they may feel harmed by our attitude, our choices, our desire. On the other hand, when those people speak about how foolish they think this mandate is, we may feel stupid and not cared for. We may feel like this relationship that we have with this person has a widening gap. Folks, this is the deception of Satan. This is how Satan wants to destroy relationships. Satan is in the business of building anger and hate that destroys relationships. The contrast to that is this love of God. This candle that we've lit today, signifying God's love. God comes as one who gave his son for the purpose of bringing freedom, freedom from the slavery of Satan's deception. The Christ child, Jesus, has come into this world for the purpose of redemption and salvation. Redemption and salvation from this power, this enslavement of sin that wants to destroy. There's nothing in this world that God cannot do. There's nothing in this world that is beyond his reach. God chose to give us his one and his only Son. Our God has the power to stand above and beyond anything and anyone that would want to stop him from choosing to give love. It's important for us to remember that our God did not give love because of something that we have done. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we read these words, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It is by God's power and choice that he loves. Love was when God became a man. I think about this tremendous power of the creative God, this God who can do anything that he chooses and wishes to do. And I think about this amazing reality that God sent his son into this world, not as a king, not as a general. God sent his son in this world in the form of a baby. Think of the contrast of God's power and the powerlessness of this child who is just born. As I was thinking of this in the last several days, I was thinking also of the unborn child. And I was thinking of those tiny little children, people who in that sonogram, as you and your wife share those moments when the doctors take that sonogram and you see that tiny little person, you see a head, you may see the arms, you may see the legs, maybe even you see the hands and those tiny fingers. This powerless baby, the God of all power, gave us his one and only Son in a powerless form. As we are here today and as we think about celebrating Christmas, I want us to think about that contrast and understand and realize that our God, who loves us so much, is a powerful God who can do all things, but is also a God who is like us in every reality and understanding. And how many times do we feel powerless? How many times do we have that sense that there's nothing that we can do? That's God who came to be with us. Power and powerlessness. Powerlessness so that we can understand and know that he's a God who understands and knows us. That really brings us to this next piece in this message. Our God of power is also a God of mercy and a God of grace. From Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we read these words. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the sinful nature. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. God's love, all-powerful love, the powerless love of a tiny child, offers grace and mercy even when we do not deserve it. I hope you're going to want to stand up and shout, hallelujah, praise God. Oh, I see you out there. Yes, you've jumped out of your chairs and you're shouting. It's something to shout about. The all-powerful God who can do whatever he wants could choose to bring judgment and death on all of us sinners. But thanks be to God, he is a God of grace and a God of mercy. He's filled with those qualities that bring us to that hymn that we love. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Thanks be to God for his wonderful grace, his mercy, amazing grace. Yes, it is so amazing. And we rejoice, we worship, we're thankful, we give praise. This God of all power who has loved us by sending, by giving his one and only Son, is also a God of gentleness and a God of humility. What an amazing combination of qualities of character and person our God brings to us. Our God of all power, our God of grace and mercy, and now, a God who is gentle, a God who is humble. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus states these words. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls." Does this sound inviting to you today? Are you weary? Are you burdened? I am. I think we all are. Jesus says, "Come. Come. I'm gentle. I'm humble. Come. Rest in my arms." The God of all power invites us to come to him, invites us to come to the manger. Come to the Christ child. Come to Jesus. And when we come, we will find rest. When we come, we will find a powerful God who is gentle, who is humble. I think these last two truths are so amazing. The God of all power doesn't lord it over us with a clenched fist, looking for opportunities to discipline and beat us down and somehow show us his power. But rather, the God of all power comes with a gentle, humble heart, inviting us into his presence. What does God's love look like? His love is gentle. His love is humble. Picture yourself resting in the loving arms of Jesus. Those gentle and humble arms of God. Think about what he might say to you as one who is humble himself and gentle. Think about how he wraps his arms around you. I think of the baby Jesus, how he came, and as a baby, what do you need? You need someone who loves you and cares for you, protects you. Folks, the powerful God sent his son Jesus as a powerless baby to be cared for by Joseph and Mary. And what a picture for you and for me when God says, "Come, and I'm going to hold you in my hands. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to care for you because I love you. And I'm gentle, and there's mercy in my soul." It is because of this kind of love that God never forces himself upon us. God gives you and me the power of choice. Even as he, God, had the power to choose to love, God gives you and me the power to choose to love him, and to love others. Those of us who have chosen to receive the redemption and salvation that comes through the gift of Jesus Christ, his only Son, we are called to learn from him. We're called to learn from God. We're called to learn from this Christ child. We're called to learn from Jesus. We're to learn what it means to give mercy and grace. We're called to learn what it means to be gentle, to be humble. God gives us power. Christ followers, fellow brothers and sisters, we need to choose to love as God loves. As I was thinking of this and what this might look like, there are a multitude of things. Some of the things that are on the far end of the scale are things like those Jews who lived and died through the Holocaust. Many of them, I'm sure, had some sense of hatred for Hitler and those who stood with him, for those guards who beat them in those camps where they were put aside. But there were stories, wonderful stories, of those Jewish people who loved God and loved those who hated them and wanted to kill them. That's the kind of love that we're talking about today. That's a love that has power. Those powerless people who were in those concentration camps could give love. A love that was gentle. A love that showed mercy. A love that showed grace. I think of the stories of the martyrs. Martyrs who have died. Martyrs who are dying today because there are people who hate them. And those stories where they love those who are killing them. Those stories that proclaim that their God is a God who loves the ones who hate them. Maybe for us, it's simply a matter of loving the person who thinks differently than I do about the mask. Maybe it's simply loving the person who thinks differently politically than I do. Are you ready to offer mercy and grace? Are you able to be gentle and humble? What might humility look like for me as I speak with a person who thinks differently than I do about the mask, or differently in terms of political terms? Our God is a powerful God who has chose to give love. God gave his son, his one and only son, to become a man, to live here, to take on the form of a powerless baby, even when God himself had power to do whatever he wanted to do, any way that he wanted to do it. Christian brothers and sisters, we're living in a time and an age when we need to learn. We need to learn from the God of all power who demonstrated his love by giving his one and only son to come into this world to bring freedom. Freedom from hate. Freedom from revenge. Freedom from anger. Freedom from sin, a freedom that releases us to be people who look like Jesus, to be people who love our God the way he loves us, with grace and mercy, with tenderness, with gentleness, with humility. Let God's love move through you to make a difference in our world. Let God's love come to life out of your life. Today we're going to close with that song that I spoke of. Barth's going to start it and play it. I want to encourage you, though, with this. I want you to go to your YouTube after we're done here. And I want you to, call up Love Was When God Became a Man on YouTube. And there are just a couple of persons or groups that present this message. Right now, we're going to listen to it. But I want to encourage you to go on YouTube and watch those videos as they are presented. And folks, may God bless you each one. And may you have a wonderful Christmas, remembering the power and grace and mercy of God's love. Amen.